Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different Christmas trade paperback every single week, or every year. Every year. I'm Daniel, and you're Nathan, you're Rena, we're fam, we read comics.
Our most recurring guest, back again. Welcome,
Serena.
What can I say? For our Christmas book. Yay, Christmas.
Yay, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Always a happy time anytime you're reading a Christmas story.
Happy holidays especially if you do something else.
Yeah. You're always here. You're always following us to get
book
on.
Of the year.
I know.
We're the Deviant. And we also have a little Christmas exchange later. You know, maybe I'm going to exchange a gift for Daniel. Maybe I won't. Who knows?
Anyway, we got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is The Deviant. We got Back Matter Matters in the poll list. But we start with what, Rena?
The news.
Let's see. Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared for news?
I'm a little prepared for news. You'd be surprised.
Nathan, you know Criminal?
I am aware of it, yeah.
Getting new printings of the trades and their new editions. Cool. They're doing them different somehow. But the book's the same. Mm. Outside is different. Coming in January.
That's confusing.
Yeah, you know.
I've never like really read Criminal.
I know.
Is it like each trade is something different?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like an anthology, but I think they interconnect eventually, but I'm not sure. I only read like the first trade.
How confusing.
Yeah. If you don't read it. Yeah. I'm sure it's very confusing.
Daniel, are you familiar with the comic book and TV show Invincible?
Yep.
Well, Robert Kirkman and Ryan Otley, the original team, not the original team, the team that's on Invincible, the comic, they're doing a new Invincible Universe spinoff Invincible book called Invincible Universe Battle Beast. It's going to be a prequel spinoff.
About Battle Beast.
And specifically between issues 19 and 55 of the original series, where Battle Beast is just going on a quest trying to find an opponent strong enough to kill him.
Perfect.
So he's just running around.
Love it.
Trying to beat people up. So that's pretty cool. The original team back. That's very exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what he was going to be doing. That is cool. They have like other Invincible Universe stuff. They even have like an ongoing called like Invincible Universe that I never really got to because
that's ongoing.
It's not out. It might be like a. Yeah. Mm. But it wasn't always like Kirkman writing, you know? Okay. And so it was just kind of a bummer.
Gotcha.
For me personally. But
Serena, do you remember? Cool. You watched the Invincible show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the big beast guy?
He's like the lion looking dude
and he was beating up Invincible in the first season?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay. All right.
Bruh.
Don't guess I hurt.
I thought you were saying more, so I was just listening.
Okay, no. I think it's referring to like after he leaves, he's like, this sucks. I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. And then I guess he just goes to try and fight people.
Yeah.
I think it's around where issue 19 was or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In the book. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Original team. Love to see some Ryan Otley stuff.
Speaking of Invincible, the season 3 trailer dropped. It has a lot of spoilers, so if you don't want that, don't watch it. But
okay, well, I watched it, and I was like, this looks cool, because I haven't read the book all the way through.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, this looks like a lot of good action. And so I didn't even know what I was looking at, I guess.
Yeah, I guess if you know what you're looking at, there's a lot of spoilers.
But then you know that it's not a spoiler, because you already read it.
Yeah, I guess. you decide who you trust more, me or Nathan.
Did you like the first season or second season more?
First, I think the half of like the second season is just like, man, I'm really sad my dad beat up all those people.
True.
Which like makes a lot of sense, you know?
Yeah.
Because like that's pretty tragic. So you need to have time like processing that. It'd be weird if he was like cool with it after like the first episode or whatever. But I think they set themselves up for a pretty cool season 3. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. Comes in February.
Oh my gosh.
I think.
That's so soon.
February, March. Yeah. Which is pretty soon. Compared to the space we had from the first and second season.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Very cool.
You got any news for you?
I have two, but it's not like anything crazy.
Okay, all right, let's hear it.
And you already like the post, so. But Jeremy Allen White has been casted to play Jabba the Hutt's son in The Mandalorian.
No way.
Yeah, look it.
Dude, it kind of looks like him.
It's like,
wait, that's the, I'm just kidding.
He's voicing. It's like Rada the Hutt or something.
Rada.
Yeah.
He had a son?
Yeah.
Who did he bag?
Another
Hutt. Another Hutt?
Yeah.
And then there's another one, but it's Chris Evans has been casted in a mystery role for Avengers, and he's going to be Doomsday.
Wait, who was cast?
Chris Evans.
Oh, he's going to be Doomsday.
Yeah, in a mystery role.
Okay, in Doomsday.
Oh, in Avengers Doomsday. Oh,
gotcha, yeah. gotcha.
I was like, because like Doomsday is like a Superman villain. I'm like, wait a minute.
Avengers.
That's good news. That's more news than I had.
It sounds like Captain America, probably.
Yeah. Evil Captain America.
Ooh.
Deeper voice Captain America.
He's got a flat ass. And he's evil. What if he just like has a huge bulge instead of just a big ass? It's just opposite. So then what else you got, Daniel?
Nathan, you like The Thing?
Yeah. Fantastic Four?
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a new miniseries for The Thing coming from Tony Fleeks and Leonard Kirk, coming out March 5th. It'll be 5 issues.
It's just called The Thing?
Yep.
Okay, nice. I think the last thing to come out of The Thing was like a noir story. He's like wearing his like trench coat and detective hat thing.
Last thing I saw, it was just like, it seemed like a fun kind of thing, but the fucking covers like were like nightmare fuel.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that at
I'll
all.
I'll show you one. I hate looking at it, and so I kind of hate that I'm looking it up.
But, nightmare fuel. What is it?
I'll find it.
It's called The Thing, I guess. The Thing new comic book series.
Is it a villain?
No, The Thing like from Fantastic Four, the big rock guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's just called Clobberin' Time. I remember that.
Really? I don't even remember that. That was recent?
2023. So this is the cover I hate the most.
What the hell? I don't remember that at all.
Is that terrible?
Yeah, it's gross. It's like his stones are coming out.
I remember last episode you were talking about how like the holes.
Dude, it was terrible editing that.
Oh.
I was like, I'm going to be fucking sick.
Oh God, really? Oh my God.
I got so upset doing it.
I don't think I have anything that like upsets me like that.
Yeah. From our Shiver episode. I showed Sophie that that terrible panel where he's like squeezing his face and there's a bunch of like pimple juice coming out. And she like was actually disturbed by it. She's like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
And I was like, yeah, this book's fucking crazy.
Yeah. So, that was, who thinks of that shit, bro?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Sick man.
Yeah.
Mr. Ito. But that's all the news I had. I only had the one thing.
Same.
Cool.
What did we read this week, Rena?
The Deviant.
We did.
Did you read The Deviant?
Yeah, I did. I just forgot.
By James Tynion IV. On writing, art and color by Joshua Hickson. Lettering by Hassan Otsman Elhau.
Yes.
Nathan's favorite letterer. His favorite letter's name to say.
Yeah. He's a good letterer.
He did fine.
Yeah.
Designed by Tyler Boss.
I know.
I thought this looked cool. I'm like, this is a good design.
I love the colors. I love the colors.
Yeah. And the guy that I guess did the design for the book, which is probably just like all the pages before you get into the actual like comic and shit. He normally does like art for a couple different books, and we've had him on this podcast. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, big flex, you know.
Yeah,
big
Whoa, flex. Really? That's yeah, crazy.
The designer of this book that we're reading. But we had him on for...
Don't you have a Joshua Hickson...
I do.
Like, sketch?
I have both a Joshua Hickson sketch of Robert Pattinson's Batman in his Batcave.
All right.
And I have a Tyler Boss commission of Iron Fist.
Mm.
So I got some money bags
over here.
You had him here?
No, on like Zoom.
Yeah.
He lives in like Buffalo.
He's really cool though.
That's really crazy. Yeah. I need to watch that. Do you know what episode it was?
That was before we had video, but it was called
Dead Dogs Bite.
Dead Dogs Bite. No dogs die. Just a proclaimer. Because it's called Dead Dogs Bite.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are no dogs that die in that story.
Yeah.
Anyway, what did you think of this book,
Really puts you in the Christmas spirit.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I told Grammy, I was like, oh, yeah, we're reading a Christmas comic. But I was like, I don't have the heart to tell her that it's a horror.
Yeah, he murders children.
Yeah, like.
What if, like, she goes and watches the episode and she's like,
I know. I should have told her. Like, immediately when I left her house, I was like, damn it.
She subscribes.
Yeah, true.
You made her subscribe and force her to watch this.
I'm sure she watches, like, murder shows or whatever.
Grammy, if you're listening, the book is delightful. Just shut off the episode now.
Go watch something else like Frankenstein or something.
But I liked it a lot. It had very David Fincher vibes, you know? It was very dark and dreadful. And I thought it's kind of hard to accomplish that in like a book, just like in general.
Yeah.
And then let alone like a Christmas book, you know?
It felt very like authentic crime, I would say.
Yeah.
So I liked it a lot. I think this is Joshua Hickson's best work for sure. Because he's been on this book called The Plot.
Did he do The Closet?
No, that's Gavin Guidry.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like it. What's that a comic book about?
The Closet? I don't know. Dan's the only one that read it.
It's like this kid who's like scared of his closet, and there's like a monster in his closet. But his parents like keep checking the fucking closet, and the monster's not there. But it's not very good. The first issue is really good, but like the rest of it, it just like ends kind of shitty. But
yeah,
also by this guy,
Joshua Hickson. He did this book called The Plot, which had this like Swamp Thing looking monster that was in it. That was kind of freaky. But he did this pirate book called Shanghai Red, and it was like about this like girl that wanted to be a pirate, and so she like cut off her hair and acted like a boy, and she was being a pirate, which is kind of cool. And that book's pretty solid as well, but. This, I think he's really good in this. So, what do you think, Serena? Did you like it?
Yeah, I really liked it. I said, I like the colors that they use, and especially, like, the first page.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, I was like...
It's him doing, like, all of the art on it, other than, like, the lettering on it. It's really so, nice. It's really, really impressive, yeah. I think.
But, I liked it, yeah, overall.
Very spooky. So, let's get into it. So, it opens, like, in Christmas time, Chicago 2023, and we're introduced to Michael and his boyfriend, Derek, and they're kind of walking around the mall, and Michael feels a little bit off. And then in Milwaukee, 1973, it's Christmas time. There's a lady that she like works at the mall, and she goes back into the mall because she forgot something. And so she goes into the mall after it closes and finds a man who's like mutilated, and he's like dying on Santa's chair. And so it's like a big scary reveal.
Dude, department stores in the dark.
So scary.
Fucking terrifying.
There should be more horror games in that setting.
When you close at like at a department store and you're like the last one out.
Yeah.
Anyone could be anywhere.
Dude, you know? Literally. When the Xbox One came out and I was working at the Microsoft store in like the mall, we had a midnight release. And so I had to leave like after midnight, after everyone was gone.
The whole mall?
The whole mall was fucking closed, dude.
Yeah. Every time at Foot Locker, we would always be like the last store to leave.
Yeah.
And like literally all the lights were down. Like,
how would you be the last store to leave?
I don't know. I think.
Holding all the shoes.
I don't know. It just, we had to fix every single like clothing item there. And people are just, especially around Christmas time.
Like it's all crazy.
People are like ruthless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, they're very scary at night. And at the Chandler Mall, they have like those automated, like the automated cleaners that looks like you could sit on there if you wanted to, like you could drive it, but it also just goes by itself. Those are kind of eerie, like,
yeah,
by themselves.
I wouldn't know. I thought it was just going by itself.
Yeah. There's like fucking mannequins, dude.
Like, the mannequins. I really like how he builds up suspense because it's a lot of like very quiet shots and you're like, it's very quiet right now. What's going to happen? And then there's like the shots of the mannequins, or even like with how dark it is, he does a lot of really clever coloring. Like there's still this look of shock on her face and still like this like red on her. So I think it's really cool.
Yeah. He's awesome.
Have you seen the mannequins at like Macy's and shit that have like the weird ass poses?
Oh yeah.
I think those are so funny. Anyway, sorry.
They're doing something crazy.
Yeah.
In the present day when Michael, he's like having like a crisis about like wrapping paper.
Yeah.
I guess he's terrible at wrapping or he's some like, shit used to like be that.
So good.
Yeah, and he's like venting about it, and then like his boyfriend's like, "How does that make you feel?" I'm like, "Like, what is this conversation?"
I'd be like, "Shut the fuck up!"
Yeah,
I'll teach you.
Are I'd be you like, my therapist?
Oh no! Literally, children do this.
It is like, a weird thing to have like a weird sort of sadness about. you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like break down about. Sarah would never be like, how does that make you feel? She'd be like, okay.
That's a good partner.
Yeah, exactly. Get you one of those.
So somewhere else, the cops are investigating a barn during a snowstorm. And they go inside and they find two boys that have been tied up and they've been kind of, I don't know, fucked up in their crotch area, I guess. Some shit's been cut out.
They're hung up and wrapped like a Christmas tree.
They've been posed like a Christmas tree. Like their arms are up tied to a post and there's fucking ornaments around them and lights. It's very interesting. Like I never thought about the creativity of posing a body like a Christmas tree. So it's just like a fucked up idea.
I hope you have never thought about that.
Yeah, that's true. But it's just an interesting.
I've always wanted this.
I love this.
I never knew Finally. I wanted this.
And so one cop sees the killer leave the scene and he chases after him. But since it's kind of in a snowstorm, he gets separated from the other cops. And he sees the killer up close. And the killer is dressed in a Santa Claus costume with like a mannequin face on. And it's very freaky.
Mm-hmm. He's very bloody.
And I really love this double page spread because there's a lot of like open space in there and for some reason that makes it freaky, but yeah. I don't even know why. It's like, why do you have pretty just much this whole
void of darkness?
Well, that's why
this whole left, it just feels so open and like anything could just
that's
come
why
out
in
you.
Scary movies, remember that in Long Legs, remember when she's like in the corner and we're just staring at like the open kitchen? It's something about like what our mind, like it's something psychological.
Yeah, it must
like
be.
You're trying to fill in the gaps, like something's supposed to be there. Yeah, that's why that shot, it's shot like that, you know.
Yeah, it must be. Because if it's like fixed on somebody,
then that's all you're focusing on.
Yeah, then that you have all the information, it feels like, maybe. But if it's out in the open like this, it seems very like
when
freaky.
I was in film class, like your eyes automatically go to the center of the like picture. So when it's off the side, it makes you want to just like your eyes want to wander.
Yeah. And so he has like a really good sense of that, I think. He's also good at putting just a bunch of snow on the page.
Oh, yeah.
Which I appreciate. Yeah. But yeah, this is a really cool page. Big moment. And there's also lettering for when the cop's like on the ground and he's like, he hears the Santa killer approaching and just the lettering is just like, it really sounds like snow in my head.
In my head, it's like
and I'm like, genius. Oh no, he's coming.
Genius.
So it's fun. But in Milwaukee, in the present 2023 for this book, Michael is interviewing the Santa killer. His name's Randall Orson, and he's now locked up in prison. Michael interviews Randall for a comic that he's writing about the whole Santa killer situation. They call him the Deviant Killer. And we find out that Randall knew the boys that were killed. We find out Randall's gay, and he claims that he wasn't the one that killed the boys. And then Randall pins Michael as gay and he's like, you're gay too, like his gaydar goes off and he's like, you're gay.
Yeah.
Which I think is funny. And then Randall does admit to taking pictures of the boys without their knowledge, but he was not the one that hurt them. So it's 50 years after this incident and he's still claiming that he's innocent. And I really enjoy the flow of this conversation because I felt like I read through the book pretty fast and I didn't notice that this first issue was like 50 pages.
Yeah.
And some about just like their conversation, it really feels like he took a lot of inspiration from like Silence of the Lambs, where just them talking to each other, it's interesting inherently because it's like, is he telling the truth? Is he not? Does he have some other ulterior motive here?
Yeah.
To like accept this conversation? Is he innocent? I think
this is probably James Tynion's like best paced book.
I agree.
That I've read from him.
Yeah. Like, it's cool that it doesn't start with Randall screaming like, oh, I'm innocent, you have to believe me. It's like, I've just kind of, he's been jaded, locked up
like 50 years. Yeah. He doesn't think he's getting out.
Yeah, he's been jaded by this whole thing. And so now he's just kind of fucking with Michael, like the interviewer. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that.
There's not a lot of extra conversation too. Because I feel like in most of the comic books we read, there's like a lot of extra like conversation that like didn't even need to be there.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yeah. That's what made it flow a little bit better.
Yeah, he's good at working in like the character development parts of it into his conversation.
Which is apparently hard to do because it doesn't happen a lot.
Because people need to make entire other scenes that could be cut out if you needed to, but just to like give some context on who these characters are. So to have it be part of the exposition is really good. But Michael leaves the prison, gets into the car with Derek, his boyfriend. And says that the conversation seemed familiar, which is a bad thing to say, I feel like, after that kind of conversation. And then meanwhile, in Chicago, at the same time, an elf that stayed late at the mall is confronted by the Santa killer. So what does that mean? Is the Santa killer not Randall? You know, what's going on there?
Is he still out there?
Is he still out there after 50 years? Is there a
copycat?
Yeah. What could it be? And I think it's kind of silly that he was just hiding behind the door.
That's terrifying, dude.
It was like terrifying to see him in the window. But then when you take a step back, you're like, he just hid behind the door.
Literally.
Like when he was setting this up, he's like, oh, I know. And he just, he like, wait, he opens the door like on top of him. He's like, I'm just going to wait there. So like, it's kind of creepy, but kind of silly at the same time.
Yeah.
But here's what I don't understand. The lettering is the same in this mall where there's no snow as it is.
So, but it's like by his head. Sound. So I think it's almost like maybe he's just like.
Is that him breathing?
I think it's
Oh, yeah. It's like a DeVader thing.
It could be like a
Vader. It's in a mask.
Oh, that must be what it is then. It sounded like such good snow.
Because it's kind of like a Jabberwocky mask with the eyes cut out. And then there's like little like paint on like the cheeks.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess he's just breathing really heavily.
I guess the beard goes over his mouth too. So he's probably not breathing very well.
That's what he's trying
like
to
a
do.
Pug.
Yeah, I like that better. That makes sense.
I'll do sound effects.
Because I guess the lettering is, when we first see him, it's around his head as well.
Maybe when the cop was on the in the snow, that's what it was.
But then he heard the breathing approaching.
Then they use the same.
Because in here it's around his head too.
It could also be snow too. So they could have done something else.
Yeah. Well, when I first, I was like, it's kind of interesting that the lettering's by his head. But I figured they were trying to like lead our eyes to how creepy like the mannequin mask is. But now that I see him breathing in this mall, I just assume he's breathing.
Yeah. Know? I hated like every time like an issue ended, you just got this like dopey.
I was like,
fuck, it's over.
It's a jump scare. It's like, oh my God, he's there. It's like, oh.
So that's what I had to go off of when picking this book.
That first issue?
Yeah, the first issue.
Really, really compelling.
Oh my God, this is sweet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's cool.
I waited so long to read that.
I know, because I enjoy James Tynion's stuff most of the time, but I feel like
there's a lot of it.
Yeah, there's a lot. He does a lot of stuff.
There's some stuff that I've like dabbled in and I'm like, God, this is a lot. And just like, it's not like the densest stuff that we've read, but like
he just has you have to put
some time to, you know, get through some of the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed The Nice House on the Lake. That first trade.
Yeah, that was a little confusing.
You have to read it all at once because there's so many characters. But I think it's impressive that he's been putting out so many books recently, including this one. It's
probably his best thing since, like, Something's Killing the Children.
Yeah, I'd say.
Mm. As far as just readability, I guess.
Yeah, I agree.
But he does, like, good ideas, and they sells really well, so.
Yeah, true. So issue 2, Michael is conflicted about making the comic book in general because he's not really sure what it'll be about. And then he's like, maybe it's about me.
Well, dude, is the comic we're reading
The comic
that he's making?
Did he make it already? Okay, here's the thing with James
Tynion. Is James Tynion the killer?
Every single James Tynion main character looks like James Tynion. He like literally looks like this, I feel like, except with a beard. He's just a white dude with like general, just kind of somewhat flowy brown hair and glasses. The same character in Something Is Killing the Children is this, but a child. It's like a just white dude, brown hair, glasses. And I'm like, is he just literally putting himself in every book?
Because it feels
like
this is the. He's cooking with that. I would do that.
Yeah. I mean, if you can. Kind of have to see yourself in some roles.
Yeah. Characters. But I don't know. If I see like a third book where the main character is a white dude with brown hair and glasses, I'm going to freak out.
Crash out.
I'd have to look.
I think in Department of Truth, it's like in
The
Nice House
on the Lake. The weird alien dude looked exactly like this.
I don't. There's an alien in that?
Yeah, the weird alien dude that has a spinny face. Remember that guy? He was the one that invited them all to the nice house on the lake.
Nice house. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. He looks like this.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm. I would do that. I would do like, you know, like Easter eggs and shit.
I guess, but after a certain point, it's like, come on.
But also, I don't think like Derek, like let's say it looks like a main character, I guess. You know, like
if you make him the main character, it'd be fine.
I guess so.
Anyway, Michael's conflicted about making the comic. And he's like, maybe it's about me. And then in Milwaukee, Michael meets Paul, who's the cop that was kind of attacked by the deviant killer.
At the farm.
At the farm.
Yeah, he's in the snow.
He's axed in the face. He doesn't have a fucking eyeball anymore, I think. And during the course of their conversation, Paul goes from very friendly to very hostile when he finds out Michael's gay. And
I like how they added. Never mind.
No, the way that they like reveal it, I think it's kind of funny at first, and then they really like focus in on it a couple more times, which I don't feel like is necessary. It's just kind of funny at the same time.
Yeah.
Because in their conversation, he's like, "Yeah, I don't know if like Derek would, you know, wait for me to marry him." And then Paul's like, "Derek," and then Michael's like, "Derek." And then there's this like quiet ass panel where like the wife is bringing in some coffee, and I'm like, "Ooh, the tension in that room is high."
High. Because you can see his face go from laughing to just.
Yeah, because he's so like happy, and he's like, "I bet you're surprised I fucking decorate for Christmas because I got an axe in the face on Christmas, you know?"
Yeah.
And buy Santa.
Buy Santa, yeah. So you'd think I'd want to avoid it. And then when he opens up his laptop, there's like a little rainbow, and then you just see Paul's face. He's like, "I don't like this guy. He's gay, like that Santa guy."
Yeah.
And then there's, you know,
he got
an ambiguously red mug. That could be anything, though.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, after he like, figures out that Michael's gay, he has this like quick flashback sequence to his last interaction with the gay guy, I assume, which is just the Santa, the deviant killer.
Yeah.
And so I guess he just has this association with
he's like, "You must be the killer."
Gay. Yeah.
We were wrong.
He's like not homosexual. No, I mean, he's gay. He's gay. No, homophobic.
Yeah.
Because he had this interaction. So it's crazy. So later Michael goes back to prison to interview Randall some more. And we find out that Paul beat the shit out of Randall before he ended up going to prison because they interacted at some point. And he's like, "Yeah, I remember that guy." And then Michael admits that he won't write the comic that proves that he's innocent. But he wants to make a book on how he kind of sees himself in Randall, I guess. And then Randall appreciates that Michael's seeing through some of these allegations and kind of seeing him more as a person. So we get some interesting conversation there.
Kind of interesting.
Kind of a...
like
premise,
yeah,
because this guy's still kind of a bad guy because he did admit to taking pictures of minors.
Yeah,
I would assume. So the whole premise I don't really know who to root for.
Yeah, like, we go with that.
Yeah. And then in Chicago, a detective investigates the murder that we saw at the end of the last book, and it's staged in the same way that the deviant killer does it, with the body tied to like some Christmas lights, posed like a Christmas tree. And in the...
this dude is just ripping his jewel like the entire book.
Is that a jewel?
Yeah.
He does not put
so funny.
He does not put that bitch down.
The way it lights up when he's like... Yeah.
Yeah.
He does not let that bitch down like ever.
No, he does not.
I'm like, no one smokes it that much, do they?
That's aura though. Lynn does.
It's like, it's like every other breath.
It's not funny. It's kind of funny to think about a detective, like a hard detective just...
with a jewel, yeah.
With a jewel, just a vape. Yeah. Takes the edge off.
Yeah. Long day.
Want some of this cotton candy juice?
Let me just rip my jewel real quick.
This is a truly, man.
Tropical pineapple.
Did y'all notice he has painted fingers?
They mentioned it. I didn't notice that he had it in these, but yeah, he does have painted fingernails, which I assume comes up later. But anyway.
A lot of gay characters in
while
this.
While they are investigating this moida, they find a ID for Michael somewhere in that scene. So a little ominous. Seems like it was a little too easy to find. It was just sitting in a locker. So you'd think they would, it seems like it was planted there. But what's going on there? We don't know. And then we get jump scared by Santa again between issues. So then issue 3, it's Milwaukee, 2023. Michael's boyfriend, Derek, is at work in a hospital. He's a nurse, I think. And he's talking to a coworker about how Michael just feels distant and lonely lately. And I guess they used to bond kind of talking about serial killer stuff. And then we see Paul at his house watching the TV. And he finds out about the Santa killing on the news. And he's like, it's the deviant killer again. And then he goes, he gets a gun. And he's like, hey, wife, I'm going to get some drinks with the boys. And so he just puts a gun in his pants. So I think it's kind of funny that he clearly is watching Tucker Carlson.
Basically, yeah.
It's like, you know, if you really need to drive home that he's like super Republican and homophobic. But it's funny that it was Tucker Carlson. Interesting choice. In 1973, we see what Paul went through after the deviant killer attack on him, where he's like freshly cut in the face. He's in the hospital. His cop buddies are like, hey, we didn't catch the guy, but we did have a lead on this guy named Randall, who's the manager of the two boys that were killed. And so Paul finds out where Randall lives. He goes to his house. He's like kind of questioning him. Randall's a little like freaked out about the whole situation.
Yeah, he's like not healed. Like it's a pretty fresh wound still. He's just going to interview people.
He's still like kind of bloody.
And he's not even like a detective.
He's not.
He's just a cop that was there.
Can you imagine seeing this fucking dude?
I'd be like, no, you can't come in.
Yeah.
You're going to bleed all over my fucking nice house. My nice ass house, by the way. He's got a sick house.
Literally.
When did houses stop looking like this? Because I want mine to look like this.
The 80s.
For real.
That's sick. Now it's all fucking white.
You can have that if you want.
I'm going to.
Beige Christmas.
I'm going to wear Randall's drip as well.
Literally.
I always think it's funny how a lot of times if there's like a patterned shirt in comics, they just kind of put the pattern like over it.
Yeah. There's the lady in the department store had like plaid on.
Yeah. And there's been a couple like plaid shirts and whatnot.
Do you remember that movie or that show? It was like
Ren and Stimpy.
No, Chowder.
I do remember Chowder.
Mm-hmm. You remember when like when people walked around and they had like the pattern would move.
No, the pattern would stay there, but when the people move, the pattern looks like it's moving and it's
so
like,
upsetting.
I kind of like, I don't, it, like visually it kind of works, but I don't know why.
It makes sense, but it's just weird.
It is, it's a little drawing. You're like, huh, that's kind of fun. But
when I saw that, I like was digging to try and figure out what cartoon that was, you know?
It happens in a lot of like, I guess 90s cartoons. It happens in like
Ren and Stimpy. Chowder's like,
Well, yeah, that's true. It was more yours, I guess.
Yeah,
I remember it happening early on.
It may have happened in like regular show or something.
I think it happens with more like goofy shows. Yeah, goofy shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely Chowder though.
Yeah.
That's a good show.
But I mean, because like, what are you going to do? You're going to do the pattern like on all the folds, all the different arms?
I don't know. Give them like just a bright orange shirt maybe instead of a
pattern one.
But the pattern one works for him.
You can tell that he's kind of
It is very groovy. So anyway, Paul questions Randall at his house. Randall's like getting nervous. He's kind of upset when he's talking about the boys that he used to manage, you know. Paul goes to the bathroom, finds some gay porn magazines on his toilet, and then he's snooping around the house and he finds the pictures of the boys that were murdered by the deviant killer, which obviously seems pretty damning of evidence. And so he beats the shit out of Randall.
Oh, yeah. That's why he remembers him. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, beat him up.
So a couple things. I feel like Paul finding those pictures feels like such a big moment, and I like it because it's like this panel where we see like close up on his face and there's this like weird, I don't know, like electricity thing going on behind him, like making that connection.
Yeah.
I think it's very good storytelling.
I thought it was like rage more than
it's
anything.
Like rage and like it, like an enraging like connection kind of deal. And then we get like the quick flashbacks to like what he just experienced. So he's obviously like pent up a lot of rage right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then Randall's like, officer, I can explain. It's like, what are you going to say in this situation? So, and then in the present, Derek, Michael's boyfriend, he's approached by the detective who vapes. And he's like,
The only detective
that vapes. Or detective in general, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's like, where's your boyfriend at? Does he want to vape with me? Let's have a talk and a vape.
Does he have a Juul charger? Because I've been hitting this shit all day.
I think it's USB-C. I don't know. I came to Chicago to find you. So yeah, things are ramping up in the present. So issue 4, it's December from about 4 years ago in 2019. It shows the beginning of Michael and Derek's relationship. They're at a club. I guess this is where they like first met. And Michael's like, let's take a weird depressing walk out in the snow to go look at where Jeffrey Dahmer used to kill people. Because I guess they're pretty close to there. And he's like, isn't that crazy that like I could be a killer? And then Derek's like, you're probably not. And then he goes home with him. And I'm like, what weird riz.
Yeah. You know,
there's no way that you
in 2019, dude.
That's the biggest red flag, yeah. By the way. He's like, isn't that crazy? Like, I could be a killer. I could eat you. And he's like, you're probably not going to though.
I'm gay. Dahmer's gay.
Yeah. a coincidence. But I love the coloring in the club. Like, it's very neon, and then there's this page where it goes from like green to red. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it is really, really good with some of the lettering or some of the coloring in this. In the present, Michael's interviewing Randall again, and Michael's kind of outlining what he wants from Randall for their next session, where, you know, he wants him to bring like letters that people have sent him and pretty much anything that he can like bring together so they can have a big interview session the next day. But as Michael leaves, Paul shows up with a gun and then he beats the shit out of Michael with the gun, saying, I know what you are, and he's thinking that Michael is the new deviant killer, being like a copycat of Randall Orson. And this is a really great scene because you see him pull up with the gun. He immediately is enraged. We see the little flashback from when he was, you know, hit by him. And
that's a crazy thing. Yeah. Like, I thought he just sliced him. I didn't know he like touched him.
No, yeah. he's like, let me see what I did here. It is crazy. And so I think
he like looks like, you're gonna be okay.
I think Paul thinks in his head, like, he's justified for anything he does in this situation. Like, I was like, he could kill him right now, you know? And so, very good scene. He just ends up, like, pistol whipping him, I guess, as far as we can tell. And then in the apartment with Derek, the detective's waiting for Michael to, like, come back home from wherever he was. And he's asking Derek questions.
He literally hits it every page.
I like the little glow.
Literally. Yeah. It looks so good. It's so funny.
I didn't even notice that it was a vape. If I'm being honest,
I didn't
so
either.
Funny.
I'm just like,
yeah,
maybe I'm going through withdrawals. He's like,
that looks pretty good. Give me that.
He's doing, that's a big hit.
What flavor is that?
Is it blue? Is it blue raz? And then, so he's like walking around. He's like asking Derek questions. Derek's pretty like nervous, and so he's just answering. But Derek reveals that Michael's been researching the deviant killer, which is like the Santa guy, and that they were recently in Chicago. But unbeknownst to Derek, that's where that last murder was. And so the detective's like, interesting. And so,
yeah, I guess it's only like an hour and a half away.
Yeah, I looked it up. I was like, from Milwaukee to Chicago? I mean, yeah, it's like less than an hour and a half.
Yeah, the Midwest is weird. It's all strangely close.
Like, I feel like it takes an hour and a half to get to Phoenix from where we are.
Yes.
We're in the Phoenix area.
Hour and a half to Tucson.
Yeah, pretty much.
2 hours to Flagstaff.
And so the detective looks around the house. And he looks into Michael's closet, his like private closet where he keeps the Christmas presents. So Derek hasn't looked in there. And the detective is called away when he finds out that Michael was apprehended and he was involved in an altercation. But in the closet is the outfit of the deviant killer.
Mask and bloody Santa outfit.
Michael's a deviant killer, probably.
And presents. He didn't lie about that.
Oh, yeah. He does have presents in there. So don't look
at
those.
No peeking.
He didn't like put the mask behind the present at least. So even if like Derek takes a peek, he's like, oh no, it's my present.
Yeah.
So yeah. What happened there? Is Michael the demon killer? Probably. I don't know.
Maybe.
The whole thing's about 9 issues. I think it's out already, right?
No, the last issue comes out on Christmas.
Oh shit. So we got to catch up. We could read it all on Christmas.
I read it all.
You did?
What? Yeah.
Whoa, is it
like,
spicy?
I like had to know.
As soon as I finished reading this, I was like, I need to buy the rest of this, I think.
At this point, I was like, what the fuck is happening? And what is he trying to do with this?
Yeah, it's very, very compelling. This is a good cliffhanger for a trade, for sure. It doesn't feel complete, necessarily.
Well, yeah, but
it's a good cliffhanger. So, let's get into Back Matter Matters real quick.
Back Matter Matters.
There's this little scene.
Yeah, so we get like one variant, which is pretty cool, but then we get a preview story from Razor Blades, which is...
Okay. I thought this was a part of the...
No, it wasn't a part of...
I was like...
You're like, why are there monsters?
Yeah.
No, this is part of this book, which I think was a horror anthology book, I want to say. But the same creative team that did The Deviant did a story on this. So James Tynion and Joshua Hickson... And that looks pretty fun. Mm-hmm. I think Joshua Hickson does do pretty good monsters. So
I love this scene.
Yeah, it's cool. So maybe we'll have to read Razor Blades next year.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you think anthology would go well, like, on a podcast? You know,
we did a silver coin.
We're just flipping a bunch of different episodes or a bunch of different stories.
Yeah, true. I mean, we've done a couple anthologies, haven't we? We did Silver Coin.
Yeah, I guess we did Ice Cream Man, too.
Ice Cream Man was one of them.
Shiver was one of them. Yeah, never mind. I'm stupid.
Yeah, you're stupid. And then
250 pages. Jesus Christ.
James Tynion, you know, he plugs all of his other stuff. Department of Truth.
Naturally.
The Closet, Silver Coin, World Tree. And then we get some creator bios. This is when I found out Tyler Boss is a part of this. I'm like, no fucking way. What did he do?
He's like, wait a minute.
I'm like, did he do an issue? And I didn't even realize. But no, he did the design for it.
His artwork is pretty similar, too.
Yeah, it is, I would say.
That's like my favorite, just kind of like, it looks like the same proportions as like people, mm-hmm. but it's still like simplistic in a way.
Yeah, it's like simple and cartoony.
It's not like the craziest coloring.
But there's a lot of range because a lot of it feels very grim a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's like better for those like slice of life kind of mm-hmm. stories.
Yeah, for sure. So what do you think of this book, Serena?
That was really good.
Really good.
I wish it had an ending, though.
It does have an ending.
But like,
well, it's not out yet, but.
Yeah. Well, like in the book. Kind of confused. I'm like, maybe I'm just dumb. But I was just like, is someone planting this stuff or is he actually like the killer? Like,
that's the question.
That's the question you should have.
Because like, there's no way the photos are on the bed just sitting there for literally anyone to find.
Oh, well, he didn't know that a cop was going to be coming over.
True.
So maybe he's like,
but it's like still,
you know,
when you're
someone's at the door, he's like, maybe I should
put these. Yeah, exactly. Maybe
I should put these away.
The rest of the issue is only $2 on Kindle. If you want Kindle,
you can buy all of them for $2.
No, like individually, they're $2.
$2.
So like half price.
So it'd be like $10 to read the rest of it, right? Because there's 5 more issues.
Yeah, but 9's not out.
Oh, I see. Okay. So $8 to read what's currently out. Still good. Still spicy.
So the first trade is like the best part of this book.
For sure.
Up until like issue 8, which is the penultimate issue.
Some crazy shit's going down.
I can like kind of spoil some of it. So in the next issue, Michael gets arrested, mm-hmm. obviously.
Okay.
In the 6th issue, Derek's like with like his parents, and his parents like aren't sure that he didn't do it. You know, like they're talking to a lawyer. Michael's parents.
Oh, Michael's parents aren't sure that he
Derek's, didn't. Yeah, with Michael's parents.
It's a very and Dahmer situation.
Yeah, they're like,
maybe he could have.
Yeah. There's in the 6th issue is a great like rundown of all the evidence that the mm-hmm. FBI has. But the agent, he knows it's like too easy, you know? So he's like a little skeptical of everything.
Yeah.
And then Derek, he goes to Randall, like the deviant killer that's locked up for like help.
He's like, what should I do?
I don't know what he plans to do.
I mean, why are you asking him? He's in jail right now.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
What would you do different?
We did not do what you did.
Tell me everything but the opposite.
Yeah.
In issue seven, there is like a lady in Wisconsin, I think, who makes like replica deviant masks.
Oh.
And so they're different from like the real one, I guess. They're like higher quality.
Mm.
And the FBI agent was able to determine that Michael's is a replica.
Got it.
So the one that doesn't necessarily like cut out that he's not the killer necessarily.
Yeah. It could be. I mean,
but he's just think
he'd be a copycat because the deviant killer hasn't done a kill in like 50 years.
Right.
So he wouldn't have the original mask.
But it also could be, you know, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. Yeah. And like the deviant killer is still out there somewhere. Because Randall wasn't the guy that killed those children. So what happened to the actual deviant killer, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So that's also an element.
None of it's been ruled out, really.
Yeah.
But that night, the mask lady gets killed by the deviant killer.
He's like, you're biting my shit.
Yeah. And then she gets like chopped up and like wrapped under like the tree. Aww. And then like her cats are like drinking her blood.
Oh my goodness.
That's sick.
And then, but in issue 8, we find out that Derek, the boyfriend, his ID is left at the mask lady's house. And it's, so it's like,
who is it?
Who takes out their ID?
Pickpocketing these people?
Who's taking out their ID when you're doing a crime? He's like, let me see. Yep, that's what checks out.
Let me see if I still have my ID.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, better keep that handy.
Yeah. And then like the last page of issue 8, the deviant killer like shows up at the bar where Derek hangs out with his buddy and he's just like in the window, and I'm like, oh, and so pretty exciting.
Wow
it sounds like a really good comic.
Yeah, so I'll probably,
but like those ones are like 5, 6, and 7, they were kind of slow. There's a lot of talking, you know, didn't feel like it was a
lot to go over.
You could have cut out 1 or 2 issues maybe.
You read 5, 6, and 7 already?
Five, six, seven, and eight, and so I just have one more on Christmas Day when it comes out.
That's crazy.
I'll read and tell you what happens.
Yeah, please.
Let me know if it's good, because I'm pretty compelled by this like already. So.
Yeah, because the second... Oh, sorry.
if it ends well, just let me know.
You'll probably forget everything I said. Yeah, hopefully, because I...
I already did.
There's got to be like so much stuff explained in issue 9, and I hope it has like... a super satisfying ending.
Your phone is so fucked.
Oh yeah.
You got text to me.
If the whole room goes up in strobe light.
Do you know Dawn has that flashlight thing when you have it?
With like her actual flashlight off? I'm like, turn that off.
It's like flash, and it goes like, oh god.
Just like the the fucking car
boo,
one.
Boo.
Like, yeah, man, please
the
announce
duck sounds.
Yeah, like a truck's being broken into.
Yeah, for those listening, my phone's fucked. I dropped it while I was like doing some yard work, and now every time I get a text, it like fucking strobe lights for the life of the notification.
Can I text
on my
you
phone.
For the video?
Yeah. Everybody, be quiet. Yep, there it goes.
Why aren't you getting a new one?
Yeah, do you have an upgrade?
What do you think? Fucking money grows on trees? You think Samsung phones grows on trees?
Well, you're working for Microsoft. They should give you a free one.
They actually will.
Period.
Oh, nice.
So you're just
are you getting a Microsoft phone?
No.
Because that would suck.
They don't do those.
Or a Windows phone?
A Google
they don't
phone?
Do those. They do like a Surface phone. But no, I'm not getting that. I'm getting a whatever I want, he said.
Cool.
iPhone,
I could choose to have a work phone or like the company stuff like on my phone. And I've done both.
But they can like track your shit and they look at what you look at.
Like technically probably, yeah. But if I do a work phone, they won't pay for an upgrade for my new phone. But if I have work stuff on my actual phone, they gave me like extra money every paycheck, I think. And then they also
my job does that.
Pay for like half of an upgrade or something like that. So I'm like, I need a new phone. So
true.
Anyway.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's fine.
Rena, what would you rate this book?
I think a 9 out of 10.
Nice. Very good.
How would you rate it using food?
Yeah, food, if you're to give it a food.
Maybe Christmas food or something.
Mm.
What kind of eggnog?
I don't know. I think some Muddy Buddies. Some like Christmas Muddy Buddies, like Puppy Chow.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
With the M&Ms and all that. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't think so.
Puppy Chow?
I'll show you.
You're eating dog food?
that's what it's
Is
called.
Just kibble?
Well, I'll show you.
What'd you rate this book, Daniel?
I would give it a Little Debbie's Xmas Christmas Cakes.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
That's valid. Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
I give it that like peppermint bark, but from Costco.
Ooh, that's a good
that's
one.
Crazy. So
it's like chocolate, but then they have like candy cane like chunks on there.
Dude, you know what hits the fucking spot?
What?
For me, at least, when I'm like super zooted.
Okay.
Like the white chocolate covered like pretzels. With like the peppermint bark
cooking.
On it.
Oh, I've never had that.
Yeah, they're so good.
Whoa, you get sweet and
Christmas
minty.
Puppy Chow.
Oh, that looks good. Oh,
it's like,
I have had that.
It's like Muddy Buddies, but with
people like make it.
Yeah.
It's
so
like trail
good.
Mix, but it's all terrible.
Yeah. what?
It's like trail mix, but like it's all just stuff that's terrible for you. You know, some trail mix has like raisins and shit.
Yeah, always skip the raisins.
Trail mix isn't very good for you.
It's not, which is crazy.
It's got M&M's in it. Which is
that crazy?
But it's nuts.
It's
nuts and shit.
People eat nuts.
Nuts are super high in fat.
They're very calorie dense as well.
Yeah, dude. Look at the serving size of those bitches.
Like you have like one of the little packets and you eat it.
It's like $600.
Like, oh, I'm being like health conscious right now. And it's like, Jesus Christ, I could have had a fucking McDonald's McNuggets.
Wait, are you dead ass?
Yeah. Trail Mix is super
look
like.
At the nutritional information.
I haven't even looked because I'm like. Nah,
I'm being fucking so healthy right now.
Nuts have protein.
Where's my fucking race right now?
It'll be like 300, 400 calories or something like that.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's insane.
And mom always buys like a huge bag from like Costco.
And I'm eating like two at a time.
Bro.
It's crazy.
But yeah, I'd give it Puppy Chow because it's a lot of flavors.
It's kind of what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice.
What about you? Oh, wait. What'd you give it?
Peppermint bark.
Oh, right.
From Costco.
For sure.
Because that. Is the shit I look forward to every year.
What's your favorite? Oh, that's what you look forward to every year?
Dude, I fucking love peppermint bark.
I think they have...
I've had to not buy it this year because I
already
eat
pretzel
it all.
Chips, too. Those are good.
Oh, I've never had any pretzel with my peppermint bark, I don't think. You know what's overrated, though, is the Ghirardelli peppermint bark. Shit's ass.
I think it's properly rated.
Ghirardelli, I don't fuck with them.
Yeah.
I like the shakes that they make at the stores.
Ooh,
oh,
shakes
yeah.
are pretty solid.
But those are like... A whole thousand calories.
That's a day of calories.
I'm not drinking that to be healthy.
No, true.
But yeah, they have one in like Vegas, I think, and it's fire.
Yes, yeah, you're so right. Yep. And in Disneyland or California Adventure.
For sure.
Oh, they do. Wait, they have a Ghirardelli one?
Yeah. And or one of the times I got like the chocolate covered strawberries. Busty.
Do you remember when we went to Disneyland for your birthday and it was all Christmassy?
I loved it, bro. I was like, let's go again. But
I'm down. We got time.
So let's get into the pull list. Colin,
shove it in your box.
The pull list, the pull list. What did you shove in your box?
My comic shop closed next to me, and the nearest one's like 20 minutes away. So I got to order shit online, and I haven't done that yet. So
Grandma was saying there's a comic book by her house.
Huh?
Just one comic book place. Sorry.
One comic book.
I like a comic book store by her house. And I'm said? Like, huh?
Who said?
Grammy.
Yeah, there is one.
Is that the one that's kind of shitty?
Like a, it's a, no, I'm it's like, a, it's a card shop, and they just have comics there.
Mm, yeah.
I was going to say, I'm like, they probably been to it.
But. Yeah. It's like a collectible store is more. I don't know if they get like weekly stuff. I think they get a little bit.
If you were to drive up like the roads and then take the 60 west, you could go to like Samurai that's over there.
Yeah.
And Gotham on your way here if you wanted.
Yeah.
But
maybe I'll have to think about it.
The only thing I had coming out was X-Factor number 5. And there's a Creepshow holiday special.
Whoa.
Those are pretty fun.
Cool.
So they had one last year and I just read it.
Is it good?
Yeah. There's one story in it by James Asmus.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's...
Wait, he's doing like horror stuff?
Yeah. Creepshow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like... So they do like two like 10 pagers basically. And his story was like about like package thieves. Like people who steal shit off of like porches and whatnot.
Yeah.
There's these like two friends. They're like girls or something. And they are girls. But they're like...
Girls are whatever. You can tell.
They steal a bunch of shit. And that's like just what they do. And they take them home and they open one. And it has like an eyeball in it. And they just keep like stealing shit from like different houses. And they keep finding like body parts. It's really fucking good. Actually.
Same body part? Or from the same people?
I don't know.
Same body
part. Are they putting them together like
and
a puzzle?
And some of them have like notes and shit. It's kind of creepy.
Whoa.
That's an interesting idea.
But from package thieves?
Yeah, they... I think it's something that could have been fleshed out in like a whole issue so that like, you know, when it ends, I'm like, ah, that's kind of abrupt, but still good stuff.
Yeah. I think a lot of those anthologies, they just kind of flesh out,
you know, some random ideas. And I keep fucking buying them for some reason. I'm like, this might be good. Like,
it might be.
This might be the one.
I bet they just don't know how to end it. So they're like, let's just end it right
here. Yeah. I think there are some ideas that comic writers have where it's like, this is a good idea, I think. And it would be, I feel like that's why Junji Ito did like Shiver. Cause he's like, I got all these ideas.
But
I don't
know
how to end it in a satisfying
way. I think all
way.
Of this shit's kind of like that. Like,
I think so. But like, there's some value to that, I think, because
yeah.
There's that blimp story. And it's like, how do you end that? You know, or, yeah. You know,
just no more pages.
It's just fun. I think it's just fun for them to flesh out the wildest ideas without having to figure out a way to end it.
Yeah.
And like wrap it up in a nice bow or whatever. So
that's
cool though.
Yeah. Did you read anything?
I didn't.
Okay.
I've had a busy weekend.
Slacking.
Have you read anything, Rena?
And we're recording earlier than we normally do, to be fair.
No, I don't think so.
Can you hand me that? And there's also a comic under that. So
I did play.
Yeah.
Do you want me to hand that to you too?
I did play the new Marvel Rivals game.
We're not talking about that right now.
We're not talking about that right now, but we're going to do this.
Right after.
Epitaphs from the Abyss.
Oh, from Matt Kint?
No.
No?
This is from EC Comics. Well, this is like an imprint that Oni Press is doing. I guess EC is like a old comics publisher that used to do like a bunch of shit like this.
Okay.
And it's got a cover from, or like the guy who does the covers for all these, he's the dude that was on like Joker and.
Oh, yeah. I forget his name, but yeah.
Yeah, let me see. But this is really fucking
cool. Bermejo.
Lee Bermejo, yeah. This is really cool. It had, so they're just trying to bring this back. There's like 8 issues out so far.
Is it not written by Matt Kint?
Nope. The first story's got Jorge Forns on art.
Cool.
There's a Stephanie Phillips and Phil Hester story.
Whoa.
And a Brian Azzarello story.
Eh.
The Brian Azzarello story, I think, was one of my favorite ones.
Okay, actually. Nice.
So, yeah, I just want to give it to you or let you borrow.
Okay,
cool. It's not like, read this right now, but it's pretty cool.
I'll check it out.
Like, the vibes are cool.
Vibes look spooky.
Yeah, so I read that. It's pretty good.
Like the colors.
Yeah, no. And so I just like how retro it looks, you know? I'm like, ooh, what if I love this?
Yeah, I could.
I read Dracula number 1 by James Tynion.
Okay.
Same writer as this. It was okay.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting he was doing Dracula.
Yeah, like they're doing, like Image Comics is doing like all the Universal monsters. Like they had like a Frankenstein one's really good. And then like Creature from the Black Lagoon and stuff like that. And so Dracula was one of them. And then I read Creepshow number 2.
Okay.
Which I just had for a long time. I don't know. Michael Walsh was coming on. I was like, oh, I should read horror comics.
Yeah.
And so Michael Walsh had a story in that, which is pretty good.
I like that guy.
Yeah. And
that's so why'd you give me this?
It's Christmas. It is our Merry Christmas podcast exchange.
There's only like 15 more days till Christmas, bro.
Oh my God.
I literally can't believe it.
As of recording.
That's crazy.
Gotta finish our shopping.
I feel like I just got back from my cruise I was on last year this time. I'm still tired from it.
When you got back on like Christmas Eve.
It's been a fucking year. Yeah, I got back on Christmas Eve. It was great. Or the day before Christmas Eve, but yeah. Like late at night. Gosh,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was bizarre. So, yeah, anyway.
Nathan normally would bring his, but I didn't tell him to bring it.
Didn't tell me to
bring it on the Christmas episode.
You have to tell Nathan for him to do something.
Well, I didn't know we were doing it. Why would I bring it?
When else would we do it?
I don't know. I don't know when these episodes come out. It could be tomorrow.
How do you not know? This is your own podcast.
Because Daniel edits and uploads.
Don't you upload it every like Thursday or something?
Every Friday.
Every Friday.
But then like the schedule's off, so sometimes we're like recording something.
This is still the Christmas episode, though.
Yeah. It's
an episode that comes out like before
Christmas.
For some reason,
I thought we were doing a second Christmas book.
No.
Okay. This is the only one. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right.
So I guess you can open it first.
All right. Yeah, I will.
Save the bow.
Save the bow.
Yeah. Good bow. Reuse it.
Very deviant core.
Yeah. Gently. Yep,
there you go.
Thank
you.
Roxanne core.
Oh no, you tore off the sticky part.
What do you mean? You stuck it on here.
Just staple it.
Never mind, it's fine.
Dude, why would you do this to me? I have to like unwrap it because it's a comic.
I like to embarrass you.
Nana's
Dude, you're
wrapping.
You're kind of cooking when you wrap.
I love
Barely.
Wrapping.
Y'all should see my wrapping this year. I cooked.
Yeah, you wrapped my birthday present really well.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of fucking paper is this?
Top notch. Black paper.
Black paper. Well, all right, let's see what you got me. Petrol Head?
Yes.
What the hell is this? It looks cool. I've just never heard of it.
Yeah, it's a book I've actually told you about because I read it already.
Whoa.
And it fucking rules. And when I was just reading it, I'm like, Nathan would love this shit.
Yeah, it looks really fun, actually.
Yeah, it's dope.
Look at that. It's a big car.
Wow. Smash.
Yeah. Sweet. Just say smash.
Yeah.
This looks cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
I just like... it was just a random thing. I'm like, we're going to read this one day.
Fuck
and
yeah.
then so when this came around, I'm like, I'll just create it.
I'm happy that you thought of me.
I'll be doing that.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I pulled up the picture for what you're going to get.
Ooh.
Are you excited?
I'm very excited.
Yeah, how do you want to unwrap it?
You can just show me, I guess.
Okay. Here.
Just open the laptop and then you can see it.
It's called Regarding the Matter of Oswald's Body. Have you heard of this?
I think I've seen it.
You've seen it? It's got a very nice style.
Very noir.
I've heard good things about it, I think.
Mm.
And it's about Lee Harvey Oswald, the guy that moited the president.
Whoa! And is it like a conspiracy comic?
It's like a conspiracy comic about what happened to that dude after he murdered the president.
Yeah, he fucking got shot. What do you mean?
He got shot. Wait, Lee Harvey Oswald did?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know the lore. That's why I bought this book, Daniel. Spoilers.
It's history. But no,
you know how I like just really long names for comics? And when this is coming out, I'm like, Regarding the Matter of Oswald's Body. Fuck yeah. I know everything I need to know about this book. So yeah, I bought that during Black Friday. And I was like,
nice.
Hopefully this will be good. I don't know if it will be.
But yeah, we'll see.
So yeah. Nice. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yay. I didn't get you anything, Rena. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. You're... Okay. If you get us something for Christmas, though, we'll have you back on the pod.
I already did get you something for Christmas.
And it wasn't a trade?
Huh?
It wasn't a trade?
Comics?
I can't say.
You got Daniel trade? You looked at him.
Bruh.
Wow, spoilers. What trade do you think she got you?
But you don't know. You put like $20 million on there, so.
You're welcome.
So you pick really your favorite. You didn't have any on there, did you?
I didn't put trades because I was looking at my wish list, and I was like, one... I've read a couple of these and I don't want to sort through them. And two, I don't have any more room for trades on my bookshelf.
Another bookshelf.
I do need another bookshelf. But I think I'm just going to throw some shit away on that bookshelf because it's not all books. So it's like, get out of here.
I'm like so bad at...
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I found a bookshelf that's like a spinner rack.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But like
yeah.
For like putting normal books on. But I think you could fit some trades on there. So it'd be kind of cool.
Did you see it on like... Instagram or something, like an ad.
May have saw it on a TikTok shop.
Yeah.
And then I showed Sophie and I'm like, look how cool this is. And then she sent it to herself, like sent it to Sophia for my phone.
That's so cool.
And now I get the fucking ad all the time. Have you ever clicked on something on TikTok shop and you didn't buy it? And you just see it every fifth fucking TikTok?
I think you can like click it and be like not interested.
But I am kind of interested.
TikToks, you know? Where it's like, what would you do if your girl got this? And I was like, I want to see what it is. So I press on it.
I hate the ones where it's like, sorry for everybody who bought this. Now it's like less than the price of a taco or whatever.
Yeah.
I hate those, dude. Fuck you. It's always the same price.
Literally.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't trust the price that this is. You know?
My favorite comment was, how do I buy this without giving you commission for it?
Literally.
That's my favorite.
I've only bought like one thing off TikTok shop and it was actually pretty cool.
I think Sophie almost bought something that was definitely a scam.
Wait, why?
It was pajamas that are matching pajamas for a guy, a girl, and a dog for like $4.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't buy that.
Is it paper?
She came to me and she's like, what color do you like? I'm like, what are you buying? She's like, this. And she showed me and I just saw the price tag and I'm like, don't buy that.
Yeah.
How could that possibly be profitable for somebody?
I got was like $2.
No, some stuff is credible on there, but for like the obviously, you know, true.
You're right.
That should raise a red flag.
So yeah, I want it to be like a believable price.
You know? I'm just a girl. Anything that's like literally less than like $10, I'm like, I'm gonna get that.
No, somebody's bought like brushes and stuff that she likes on there, but it freaks me out a little bit. Anyway,
when I see like pre workouts on TikTok shop, I'm like, there's something wrong with it.
I'm like, yeah, what? Why am I?
I'm not gonna put that in my body.
There's like supplements and stuff in there.
Yeah, I'm like, why is this pre workout $10?
Yeah.
I was gonna say I'm really bad at like hiding Christmas gifts. Like I've been telling Jax, I'm like the moment you say that you want to know what the Christmas gifts are before Christmas, I will tell you.
Yes,
like, all right. Yes, bro. I'm like, I like want to tell like immediately when I buy someone something, I'm like, I know something you don't know.
See, the strategy is wait to buy everything because then you don't even know what you got them.
I like telling Sarah that I haven't gotten her gift yet, even though it's like sitting over there. You know,
that's funny.
That's funny.
Does this come out the week before Christmas or the week after?
What?
This episode?
The week before. The 20th.
Okay. Well,
so
we'll see if Sophie listens to this, I guess. But I got her for our family secret Santa.
What?
Like How did that work?
Not our families, but Sophie's family secret Santa.
Oh, right.
Mm. It's like
score.
There's like people where I'm like, I don't know what I would possibly get them. And then I rolled Sophie and I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
So I have to get her two presents. But
I like waited too long to get like Dawn's gift. And so I just had to buy like the only things
that were on
like,
there
was like two things left that were like fit the budget.
Mm.
And one was like slippers. And then one's like a little mirror thing for like your like,
oh, your car?
Shade or whatever.
You're so thoughtful.
Yeah. I'm like,
I
don't give a fuck. I'm like, here, you wanted
this. Lynn, guys. And I'm so excited. Jackson got him last year and I got him this year.
Lynn's literally the best.
Here, this present, guys. I hope he doesn't watch this. He probably won't. Anyways, I got him an Eagles robe, right? He had it on his Amazon cart. And I'm getting him like face mask and shit to put in there. Lynn is the biggest diva I've ever met. Dude, and I think it's so
funny.
I can't
wait for his reaction to that.
I know. I can't wait. And
he's going to be so excited. Because
we were talking around the fire about how he like gets his nails done and shit. I'm like, oh, you're the biggest diva I know. Like, I literally love him
perfect.
So much.
Yeah.
And so when he said that, I was like, oh my God, the robe is perfect. I just think it's so funny. And I don't think anyone else would get it for him. No. So I'm just like,
no, I wouldn't have.
I'm like, who wears
so
a
I'm
going
to get him like under eye patches and like a face mask.
Because he's the Eagles theme.
He does fit. Oh my God, I should get an eagle face, mask.
It looks like a helmet. Like,
it makes him look like an eagle. Or
you're,
got, like, little...
you're cooking right now. Yeah. No, literally. And mom loved the idea, and I was like, yes.
I think it's good. I think he'll really like
I'm
it.
I'm so excited. I want him to open it first. I'm like, that'd be so funny.
Mm. I mean, have you watched anything?
Been watching. Or you just been playing Fortnite?
No. Mm. I've watched Christmas. Oh, my God. I watched The Grinch again this year. They put more cuts that weren't in the original.
More deleted scenes?
Yes. Like, last year, I'm
on Disney Plus? Like, Hulu or something?
I don't know.
I think it's Hulu.
But right it was now. Probably Hulu. But literally last year, there was like a couple scenes where I'm like, that wasn't in there before. But this year, they added like so many extra scenes.
It's like they keep filming more.
Yes, bro. I'm like, what is going on? And so when we were watching it while we were wrapping presents, I was like, this is not even the movie I love anymore. Like, literally, wow. Like, it's crazy. I mean, it's just small scenes that really didn't need to be in there.
But I was like, bro. Yeah.
It really makes you appreciate that, like, there are some deleted scenes that it's like, yeah, this is smart to take out.
Yeah.
Maybe you can find, like, the OG version, you know? Yeah.
Theatrical.
Oh, yeah, probably. But you guys should watch it again and text me when you do, because it's a lot of extra scenes.
I feel like we watched it, like, last year.
Yeah, but there's more. Like, last year...
Yeah, during that, like, mailroom scene, there was more stuff, I remember.
Yeah. And there's some... So, on Christmas night, when he's planning to, like, steal everyone's presents and stuff, there's, like, these scenes where the mom and dad are doing stuff, and then...
What are they doing?
They're, like, setting up... They're, like, wrapping presents, and then the dad is, like, setting up this elliptical thing. I don't even know what it is. It's so random.
He's like, you know, I'm going to work out, babe.
Yeah. And then Cindy Lou Who's doing something. It's so weird. I don't know. I was just, really? Like... Yeah. And even mom noticed it, and I didn't even tell her. I'm like, does this seem like the original to you? And she's like, no. So, yeah. But other than that, I don't think I've watched any shows recently. I've been busy.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. What about you guys?
What you got?
I played Marvel Rivals, the new game that came out. Yeah. Like the Overwatch game, but Marvel stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
That shit looks complicated.
It's so good.
I think me and Jackson are gonna play it tonight, so.
Yeah, it's actually, I mean, it's a little chaotic.
Do you get to pick any character, or do you have to, like...
Any character. Game is free. It's a hero shooter, which means that each character has different abilities and stuff, and, like, different ultimates and ways that they work together. And all the characters are free.
But 33. Play Venom.
That's more than Valorant, and Valorant only gives you, like, fucking 6 characters to play at the beginning. Which is crazy. So, and it's like good. It's like not buggy on off release. Like, I played it the day it came out.
That's good.
It's just a really impressive release. All of the skins, you know, they're not like crazy priced. It's really cool. So I've been really enjoying it lately. Sophie has played it. She plays as Jeff the Shark, which is it's like this little shark character that kind of looks like Killala. And it's like a healer, so she can just kind of stay back and heal everybody.
They, like, while
everybody...
gave it, like, feet.
Jeff has feet.
I remember that.
Yeah. And
is that, like, in the Suicide Squad or whatever? Or no?
No. That's King Shark.
Oh.
Jeff the Shark is a pretty obscure character that I'm surprised is in this game, but they have some, like, pretty obscure characters, I would say.
Venom's in there, right?
Venom's in there. Spider-Man's in there.
My favorite.
Anybody that you could probably say right now is in there besides Deadpool, but he's coming later.
Mm.
So it's really fun. And there's, like, this cool mechanic where... Every character has some sort of team up. So if you're like Captain America and someone else is Winter Soldier, you get like extra damage. If you're Groot and somebody else is Rocket Raccoon, like Rocket Raccoon can go on your shoulder and like heal you even more and shoot people and stuff. It's really fun. And I've been seeing a lot of stuff on it, like just on TikTok and whatnot. And I think it's pretty fun. So I'm really enjoying it lately.
Sweet.
Nice.
So what have you been watching?
Did you watch anything or you just play it?
I put like 6 hours into that. And then I'm like, yeah, I don't have time to read.
I watched a movie called Rebel Ridge.
Okay.
It's on Netflix. It's got the dude, like, I think his name's Aaron Pierre. It's the dude who's going to be Jon Stewart in the Lantern series.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But it's a movie directed by the dude who did Green Room. Did you ever see that?
Aaron Pierre, yeah. No, but I know of the movie.
Yeah, so it's a... It's a
why'd you pause?
Because so he can cut it out. Easy. Cut it out. Yeah.
I'm just like built for editing now.
You just
there we go. I was like, we were sitting here staring at this out. I got it.
So it's like this. It's this dude who is carrying like a bunch of cash on him because he's gonna go bail out his cousin and buy like a truck so they can go like. Haul shit as like a job, and he has to bail out his cousin because his cousin is like a snitch and he's about to be transferred to a big jail that where he would be found out and like killed. And he like rides his bike to, you know, like the courthouse, and he's like followed by like a cop car, and the cop car like sideswipes him, and because he has all this cash, like the cops like sees it.
Mm-hmm.
And because his cousin was in for like possession, they had to like assume that the cash was for drugs in like illegal things, which is like, I guess, a real thing that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Where like if there's like, if you have like something suspicious that could be used, could be corrected to like a crime, then they are able to seize it or whatever.
Yeah.
and he only has like a couple days to like bail out his cousin. So he's like trying to figure that out, try and get his money back.
Yeah.
And he ends up like taking the money, and he like put like, it's like a small town. So he's able to like, he's like an ex-Marine dude. Mm-hmm. He's able to like get all the cops in like this precinct apprehended, and is able to just like take the cash.
Oh, wow.
And then he leaves.
And he uses it to pay bail.
Yeah. And so, and then it just like, it keeps going like after that, but he's like this like jujitsu, like close combat, like master or whatever. Mm. And it gets to the point where like at the end, there's like this big like shootout thing with like every cop because they're trying to like take him down or whatever. And he like basically like takes down like the whole precinct, like non-lethally, like no killing.
Does it feel like gritty, realistic kind of tone, or is it more bombastic kind of action?
I think it's, they're taking like a more realistic tone to it. Okay. Like it's like not like a John Wick kind of thing to where it's kind of unrealistic, I guess, with like all the headshots and stuff. He's just doing like proper, like
he's just better than them
form. Yeah. He's just like smarter and better. Diff. Yeah. Makes sense. And so it's like super tense, like the entire movie, because of like all the shit that's happening. You like feel bad for the dude and things like that.
Yeah.
It's like a little convoluted, like the plot, like you like really have to like pay attention to like follow it for it to be good. But yeah, it's really good.
Nice.
Yeah. So really good for like a Netflix movie, you know?
Oh, is it Netflix original?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. It kind of drags like in the middle, but like the beginning and the end are like really solid.
Nice.
So yeah, highly recommend.
Watch anything else?
Did you watch Creature Commandos or no?
No.
Okay. Well. That's a good show. It's on. It's a new DC show.
New DC show. You watched the first two episodes?
Yeah.
You liked them?
Yep.
All right. I'll check them out. I was going to do that today. I just had a busy week.
Yeah. It's got like great animation, and I think it's a good start. I'm curious to see like how, what the, like what happens in like the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. But
how long is it supposed to be? Episode
8 or 9.
Nice. Okay, that's good.
And they're like 30 minute episodes.
You watch this with Sarah, or do you watch it on your own?
So I was watching it, and she was like in the room watching TikToks. And so I could tell she wasn't like
interested. And same with the movie too, or no?
She watched the movie, yeah. Mm. She thought it was long, but.
Makes sense.
Good movie. She liked it.
Yeah. All right, nice. Cool. Very cool.
Yeah. So what are you going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
Are we reading this book you gave me?
We could.
What should we read, Daniel?
We could. Nosferatu's coming out. We could read a Dracula book.
Is there a good one?
I don't know.
I don't really want to.
The most recent one is that James Tynion one, but.
Is there a trade out?
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Okay.
I just don't like vampires.
So, girl.
I say we do Petrolhead first.
Petrolhead, because you don't have your... I'll bring your present next week.
Okay. Wait, I have a question for y'all.
Let's hear it.
Are y'all more scared, like realistically, if this was like real, would y'all be more scared of zombies or vampires? I have this question.
Are the vampires like coming after me?
They're not like a typical... Yeah, so both of them are coming at you, but they're not like the typical like... You know, with the cape and everything like that. But like
Twilight?
Do they dissolve in the sun?
Well, but like not. It's basically, okay, just like a regular vampire, but it's like as a person.
Okay. Here's the thing though.
So I had this in my.
Zombies is the correct answer, because I think there's a lot of defenses to vampires.
Literally.
Garlic, wood, outside in the day.
Exactly. So I had this in my class. This question was in my class.
So is it one vampire or like a horde of zombies?
One vampire, one zombie.
Oh, 1v1.
Probably a vampire then.
I'd really? Kick the shit out of a zombie if I wanted to, I think.
Yeah, just like kick in his knee.
Think about it. Like, okay, everyone in my class said vampire too, or most of them said vampire. But I said zombie because like, think about all the types of zombies that could come up to you, right? Running ones.
You have World War Z zombies and you have Walking Dead zombies.
Exactly.
But I thought the question was, would you rather live in like a world where like zombies have taken over, or a world where
which
like,
one? I said, which one are you more scared of?
I think, vampires are like, enhanced, you know, they're like stronger and like faster and stuff like that.
Be bad.
So I feel like I'd be a victim of like a vampire. I've watched way more zombie movies than I have vampire movies. So
if I'm in like a football field and I'm at one end and then a zombie or a vampire is at the other end, I'm more scared of a vampire, I think.
I would go after the zombie, you know, I could tackle that bitch.
I could take him.
Get him down.
I personally would be more scared of a vampire. Or, I mean, not vampire, a zombie. Just because how they look, what kind of zombie it could be.
Their breath kind of stank, probably.
Literally, are they like ones that are like, you know, if it's diseases world... walking, bro? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
I think if it's World War Z zombie, that's scarier than a vampire. But if it's what people typically think of when you think of zombie, which is more
like
Walking Zombieland, Dead.
Zombieland.
Those,
like the ones that run. Fucking those ones run. You?
Yeah, that's true.
But I feel like, because they're also like decaying bodies. So I feel like they're like weaker and it'd be easier to like smash in their heads.
Well, if you look, if you watch the Zombieland, like one of them like is on top of them and they literally can't get off of him, right?
Well, Jesse Eisenberg is a weak little bitch. I'd be able to push his ass off.
Yeah.
True.
Like, get like an elbow. But like,
imagine
in there.
It drooling on you. Shit. Oh, hell no.
Like,
I don't know.
If you like punch like a vampire in the face, he'll probably bounce back a lot quicker.
Wasn't Kesha in that movie? In Zombieland?
Kesha? Sorry.
Who's the. There's somebody like super famous that was.
Wasn't it
Bill Murray?
No. It was the girl in the beginning where he was like, oh, I'll protect you from that weird man that was trying to eat you.
Oh, Amber Heard?
Oh, that's who it was, Amber Heard.
She was like apartment 20E or something like that.
Yeah.
Wow, oh, that was Amber Heard.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A zombie in the beginning. Good movie.
Yeah, but I had that question. I was just surprised about how many people said vampire because I feel like.
Am I prepared to fight them? Like, it's just like, all right.
If it's like vampire, it's
there were not this many questions. It was just if you
These
were
are all important questions for you.
I know, but they were just.
Do
saying,
I only
like,
have what's in my house to if defend it's like myself?
January,
because I have a bat.
It's like January 15th. Nathan's gonna fight a fucking zombie or a vampire. And it's like, if I get time to prepare, I'm bringing garlic, you know?
So why January 15th?
A wooden spear.
I don't know. Just like, if it's sometime in the near future and I can prepare and I can, you know, keep a fucking wooden stake up mm-hmm. my, you know, pant hole and and then
up
like,
butt.
If I put a wooden stake up my butt, unrelated. And, then, use it. And then keep garlic around my neck and then bring a UV light. I don't know if that would work.
Salt around, you know?
Yeah, salt around. Zombies kind of scary, you know, but.
I just think like...
Because like zombies aren't like smart.
Okay, but some of them are.
They have like no tactical...
Yeah, that's why it's important to define.
But like looking
Because you're
at
not
them.
Scared of a Walking Dead zombie. Like, yeah, totally.
No,
for sure.
Yeah, when they got Glenn, I was like, the fucking bitch.
The fuck is that? Yeah. No. I just think looking at them like...
Yeah, looking at them. Yeah, sure.
Scary. Okay. I don't know, because like...
Are you talking visually now?
Because like, it could also be fucking count.
I'm talking like...
The vampire count from fucking Sesame Street.
Worst zombie you could ever think of and worst vampire you could ever think of.
Okay, worst zombie is definitely scarier there, I think.
Yeah,
I haven't seen a lot of
vampire
stuff.
Because there's like smart zombies in like Army of the Dead.
Yeah.
And where there's like different rankings, like there's like a general one or whatever. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what they call them. Those are kind of freaky.
You ever play Left 4 Dead?
No. Is Last of Us a zombie movie or no? I can't
they're
remember.
They're infected, but they're like fungus.
I don't remember. I watched it like...
They're like infected with like a fungus that takes control of people and...
And they're like blind.
Them, and they are blind.
Oh, yeah.
So you just have to be quiet.
Dude, the first scene of that show explains how like this like is possibly like a thing that could happen. And it freaks me out.
Dude, because of global warming. Would you think AI is more scary or do you think like zombie apocalypse is more scary?
we live in AI time right now, so it's like...
I mean, like Terminator's superficial kind of AI, like fucking, what's that, Will Smith?
iRobot?
Yeah.
Fire movie.
That shit.
Good movie.
Have you seen that meme with the iRobot?
Where's that guy just looking at?
That shit cracks me up. Okay, anyways, it's go good. Ahead. I feel like a zombie would be more scary.
AI... The robots would be, like, strong.
They know you.
Okay, but at that point, just kill me, because I'm not going to kill a robot. But, like, the fact that you could survive and, like...
That's scary. Surviving.
Yeah.
And, like, there's no way to, like, hide. You have to, like, be, like, off the grid, you know?
True. You're right.
You can't use TikTok anymore. AI gets you.
Yeah, like, AI could, like... download the skills of like Bruce Lee or some shit, you know?
You're right. Mm-hmm.
This is true.
And they can jump far and stuff.
But zombies look gross, Daniel.
They can jump far.
Yeah, they can probably jump high and far. I think they do in the movie.
Yeah.
Have you seen those Boston Dynamics robots that like do obstacle courses and shit? And then people try and push them over?
I can knock those bitches down.
I'm like, dude, you were first on their hit list. The scientist that pushes them over to see if they can stay up.
Yeah. Or the fact that they just like fall by themselves. It's like hilarious. I'm not scared of
those. Yeah. There's that new one that stands up and then it like turns around. Like it turns its like whole fucking body
the
around.
Tesla one or whatever?
No. Oh. It's a Boston Dynamics one. The Tesla ones were fake. Like there are people controlling them. Oh. That was confirmed.
Yeah. But with those, you could like RKO them and shit, you know, and knock them down.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
RKO.
I guess, yeah. Yeah. Again, it depends on the AI. Because if it's Terminator, it's like, it's kind of scary.
Do you think we'll live in the timeline of AI, like superficial AI? Like,
yeah. That's happening in like 10 years.
Yeah. I watched this conspiracy theory video with like my friend because we were bored as fuck. And it was like, the time that like the highest AI power there is going to be like in 2065 or something like that.
I'm sure
like the most advanced
keep getting stronger.
Yeah.
But like a lot of the AI that's like out there is really just like a program. You know, it's just like an algorithm that and they just call it AI, you know,
because
it's like calling like the spell check in like Microsoft Word, like AI.
Yeah.
Because like, it's like automatically checking your spelling. Text
to speech, you know, has been a thing for a while and they call it AI. It has a, like a weird branding.
But then it's also like,
it's machine learning that's the most, I think, authentic.
And you have the people that can like if it records your voice enough, then it can actually sound like you and stuff
That's more predictive machine learning because like it learns what your voice is like.
Put things into it to get something out.
Yeah.
Like it's not just like developing. Naturally.
But it makes extrapolations and that's what makes it AI because it's machine learning.
Yeah.
But like text to speech, like it is right now, those are all pre-recorded sort of things and they just piece them together.
My text to speech doesn't even like still work, bro. Like I like will say something and it'll be something completely different than I said.
That's speech to text. But yeah, I know what you mean.
All right.
Text to speech is when you're like, hey, you know, can you read this for me? And then it's like the nice Australian man or whatever, or the British lady.
In Dune, that's like a time that's like post AI and they like are exclusively like analog, I guess, where like nothing is like there's like a downfall of the machines kind of thing. And then so I feel like we might get to that at some point, you know, to where we realize like it's taking like too many jobs and things like that. But
you should watch The Creator.
That
movie? Oh, you have?
Yeah, I watched Fire. It.
Good movie.
I sound like a stoner, but I watched it high and it was fucking crazy.
That's a good movie to watch high, I think.
Yeah. Also sober.
Yeah.
I was like, this also under the influence. Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it was good.
I got high off the magic of movies.
Off of movie magic. My drug of choice.
So stupid.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
good questions.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks, Rena, for coming on. Mm-hmm. Email in. What are you more scared of? Zombies or vampires?
Or AI.
Or AI.
Mm-hmm.
Email in at tradewarespod@gmail.com. Tell us what to read. Link tree in the bio. Like, comment, subscribe. Stuff like that.
Thanks, Rena, for coming on again.
Of course.
This your fifth appearance or something?
I think so.
I don't know. Maybe more.
Cool. Maybe more.
Because you came out on like last Halloween and last Christmas.
I think this might be my sixth.
And then you came on for something else.
You came on for Deadpool, right?
And Harley Quinn. So is it six?
Six?
Maybe.
Damn, our sixth official episode of Trade Waiters.
Am I your favorite or what?
Basically.
Period.
Yeah, because you read everything the day of and...
Serena knows game, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, did you know I read everything the day of?
I read this yesterday, so.
Yeah. I just think I remember it better.
I think it's fun. It's better. I mean, trades are kind of like watching movies, depending on how they're made, right? But it's fun to shotgun it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have the time.
That's how they want you to read it, really.
Yeah. If you have the time and you're not like, you know, as long as you're not like rushing it, it's a really nice experience, I think.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. But yeah, thanks for coming on. Yep.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.